This is Flaherty's on Films. This week we're talking about Dirty Dancing.
Hit the music!
I owe it all to you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Flaherty's on Films. It's a podcast about the best films.
According to our fans.
Who recommended to us via Facebook. And this week, we're talking about Dirty Dancing.
Michael, who recommended Dirty Dancing?
I did, because I saw it for the first time 2 weeks ago, and I think it's fucking good. I'm going to read the description. If you don't know what it is, I'm going to read the description for you right now. Spending the summer at a Catskills. There's multiple Catskills.
A Catskills resort. Read the whole thing.
No, but I mean, like, there's not the Catskills you can.
No, because the Catskills resort would mean one resort. Catskills is the adjective here.
The Catskills resort with their family. Francis Baby Houseman falls in love with the camp's dance instructor, Johnny Castle.
Michael, what did you think of the film?
I thought it was really fucking good. So this started because Netflix just put out like a little documentary about the film. And I watched it. I'm like, this movie seems like it's really good. And then I watched it. And I'm like, this movie is really good. You know what I mean? And it was just like perfect in every way. It's exactly like, oh, if it's like this, it's perfect. It was just like that.
What is this?
Just like hunky boy.
Uh-huh.
Hot girl. Uh-huh. They fall in love. There's social political issues. There's good dancing. There's good plot. It just has
all the
good things. So it was just amazing. It was just an amazing time.
So I loved this film when I was a teenager. I watched a lot. I have the soundtrack, which is great.
Yeah.
Just like really good oldies, cheesiest ass 80s songs. Oh, perfect mix.
The best things. Best of both worlds.
But you know, I always was like, oh yeah, sure, Dirty Dancing. Like that's a silly movie.
Just one of those girly movies.
Yeah, a girly movie that I loved. Yeah. But now rewatching it like 10 years later since I've seen it. Not 10 years since I've seen Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, mind you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm with you. Like, this is a legit movie that's probably kind of talked down about because it's a girly movie, right?
But like, but maybe there are people who talk down about it, but like, the legacy is strong.
Well, the legacy is still kind of it's a girly movie. I mean, it's like 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
That's that's 40% off.
I mean, like, there's some things that are cheesy and it's like, it's sexy and it's silly sometimes, but it's also,
those are all great things.
They are. And yeah. I think the social stuff, the class stuff, the abortion stuff is actually really well done and kind of weirdly subtle for a movie that's not
right.
It's
not like, ugh, what an out of place element.
No,
like,
it works.
It's all perfectly there.
And the acting, except for Johnny Castle.
But it's like on solo acting. It's like you love it because it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
John hates that. Oh, he's not here. That'll be later.
So anyway, we both really liked it. Do you want to say why you nominated it other than you just saw it and you liked it?
Just like, this is obviously a contender. It's people still know about it. People still love it.
Yeah. In fact, I actually want to defend more why it was in the EFI after our next segment, just so I don't like tread on her territory in a segment we like to call
Bam
Time for Sam. Part of a show where Sam comes on and tells some super cool facts about this fantastic film.
Facts are like information. It's sort of like, in case you want to know more about the film.
Oh, cool.
Is it short for factoid?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Is it really?
I don't know. So Eleanor Brigstein was a writer and she was sitting with a friend one day and came up with the idea, I want to make a film called Dirty Dancing. The title was the main thing that started it. And she was like, yes, this is what I want to go with. She, when she was younger, she actually had a Jewish doctor for a father. She would go to summers in the Catskills and she would participate in these dirty dancing competitions. She was also nicknamed Baby. So she kind of wrote the story about her life and included also inspiration from one of the teachers she had met at the Catskills for dancing.
Oh, really?
And for people who've seen The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, they do a whole bit about how there are these huge, like, really inclusive camps for like Jewish professionals.
Yes, they were really popular from the 50s through the 80s, and then they started dying down. Or actually, nope, sorry, it was the 30s through the 80s, but the 50s and 60s were like the heydays of them.
Right.
And you would go for the whole summer and spend the whole time there.
Because of the invention of air conditioning. So you'd be cool in a resort.
Well, I thought it was that it was a tradition. If you lived in New York or in any East Coast city, families would leave for the summer because it gets so overheated,
right,
and then husbands would come up on the weekends.
Is that contradicting mm-hmm. what I said?
Yeah, because the whole reason they left was because there wasn't good air conditioning.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Wow.
So now that we can get kind of into the back, it was hard to find a studio to agree to make the film. The small studio picked it up. Anyways,
a video distribution, right?
Yes. We've all watched the documentary.
Was it Vespron? Did they make a lot of money?
We'll get there. So anyways, they got the studio and they started casting people for this role. Now, in her mind, Eleanor had these eyes picked out for who Johnny should be. And she
hooded
looked through all the
eyes.
Photos. Some very specific hooded eyes. And she found Patrick Swayze.
I get why they didn't make the song Hooded Eyes. Hungry Eyes sounds better.
Hooded Eyes.
Yeah, it just doesn't work as well.
Hooded Eyes doesn't sound attractive. Like, that doesn't sound like a hooded. Compliment if someone's like, he sounds had like, hooded eyes.
It sounds dark and mysterious.
I am saying, though, like, yeah. If I saw his eyes, I would be like, yes.
Yeah, that's what physical part of him I would be like really into.
Was the eyes.
The eyes. Yeah. Which is really like how well defined his
oh,
eyes.
Oh, I see the abs contact. Here. Can we like move up, up, yeah. up, up? Oh, eyes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I'm here for. His sexy classical ballet
they
training.
Were
really
blue?
Reflected in his eyes.
So anyways, this is all from the documentary. Highly suggest it. It's on Netflix. So she saw the eyes, but he had not listed that he was a dancer in his resume, and that was a very important thing. They wanted a dancer. They had just done Flashdance as a movie. And for people who have never seen Flashdance, there are a lot of stunt doubles, or dance doubles, I guess you would call them, in the film because the lead actress couldn't do what they needed to do.
And it's really obvious because she's always in silhouette when she's dancing. And like her body doesn't even look the same. It's
At
a bad
one point,
wig.
It's a man, and it's right. very obvious because they're just wearing a leotard, like,
and a big
we're
wig.
Not hiding our body here, yeah. So anyways, they had just kind of done that, so they're like, we're going to make this dance movie, and if we're going to, then the people need to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So Patrick Swayze wasn't a dancer, fine, okay, we'll move on. But she was really stuck with him and did find out later on that his mother was a very famous dancer and that he had been dancing all of his life. He's absurdly talented. They brought in a bunch of other people. The final four were Sarah Jessica Parker, Billy Zane, Patrick Swayze, and Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey has a very SJP kind of look and vibe. I could see it.
You know, I wouldn't have thought about it till they were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang.
Billy, again, sorry, we keep referencing this documentary. Just, it's great. You should watch it. But Billy Zane doing Johnny Castle's lines, maybe it's just because we're so used to Patrick Swayze. I thought it was a little weird. It didn't do it for me.
So the character of Johnny Castle was originally created to be Italian.
Sure.
He was supposed sure. to be an Italian.
Mr. Castle. I mean, what else?
Mr. Castle's pizza, yeah.
The only reason they changed it was because of Patrick Swayze.
Really? I could see him being Italian.
You do?
I don't know. Am I being racist?
Is Swayze not Italian? What is that?
Yeah, I don't even know. What's Swayze?
Sean? Who's not here?
Who's not here?
Anyway.
So when they did these screen tests, they would try it with Zane and Grey and SJP and Swayze and then switch them around. And the obvious chemistry was felt between Jennifer Grey and
like
Patrick
crazy.
Swayze.
Crazy. Obviously.
Like, their chemistry is insane.
Swayze is a surname found chiefly in the English-speaking regions of North America. It's an anglicized version of a German last name.
Oh.
So not Italian.
Okay.
Not Italian.
Not Italian.
Sorry. It's it's a German language surname meaning Swiss.
Oh. Swissy.
Patrick Swiss.
Yeah.
I like it. Yes, please.
So that's actually, by the way, John Flaherty. I'm definitely not.
Not
in the studio.
You're not here yet, but
that's actually a pretty common thing with early immigration into America, where if we couldn't really figure out their name, it'd be like, well, he's coming from Switzerland. We'll just name him Swiss. So this guy is now named Pat Swiss.
So he's probably his family's from Switzerland, but who knows what their last name was.
Or he was a farmer, so he's now Pat Farmer or Pat Bauer.
Oh, cool.
Bauer means farmer in German.
Oh.
That's fun. Like
that
it.
That changes all of Jack Bauer's history.
I don't know who just said that fact, but that was really interesting.
I know. So It was very clear that these two had the best chemistry. He had the dance. She didn't have a lot of dance background, which was actually perfect because he could teach her then and it would be a growth throughout the filming. The problem was the two had already been together in a film called Red Dawn and they hated each other.
Oh, boy.
So, once again, sorry. From this documentary, apparently they kind of went to Patrick and were like, this is the situation, how do we feel? And he's like, just let me talk to her. And they went alone in a room for an hour, and when they came out they agreed. I don't know what happened in the room. I'm right. Not super comfortable with that situation.
I'm sure it was fine. My favorite part of that is his widow was in the documentary and she was like not defending Patrick at all. She was like, yeah, he can get really intense, he didn't always like to come to work on time. Like, it was I just thought it was nice that she didn't come for Jennifer.
So Patrick would write in his autobiography, we did have a few moments of friction when we were tired or after a long day of shooting. She seemed particularly emotional, sometimes bursting into tears if someone criticized her. Other times she slipped into silly moods, forcing us to do scenes over and over again when she'd start laughing. Apparently, about halfway through the film, they just got so stressed over and over again. They were not clicking. They just weren't working. And so they actually just showed them their screen test to remind them of what chemistry they do have. Aww. And that worked and they were able to move on.
Nice.
Now let's talk about my favorite person in this film. This film was choreographed by Kenny Ortega.
Oh, who's Kenny Ortega, Sam?
Thank you for asking. Kenny Ortega is this amazing choreographer slash director who was actually trained by Gene Kelly. And after this film, he'd go on to do the Newsies. He would also do the Newsies on Broadway. He would do High School Musicals.
Which is the one I always tell people when people ask who Kenny Ortega is.
Your husband met Kenny Ortega.
I know, and he didn't even care.
I know.
Ugh. What? Whatever. It's fine.
He also choreographed Michael Jackson's tour. So he's just this really good choreographer. So having him is pretty fantastic. So they started filming and they had to do it in like the Catskills. But the problem is that these places were still crazy popular at this time. And so it was hard to film when they needed to run their businesses. They were able to find two different ones, Lake Lure, North Carolina, and Mountain Lake, Virginia. And they filmed the different scenes between the two. Now, they would have to film in the later part of summer. So filming actually stretched into fall. And because of this, just different things, like the leaves started to change. So they'd have to like spray paint them all green, yeah. Little things like that. So you can kind of see that in the background. Also, because they were filming at the end of summer, which we all know is a terrible time because it gets exceptionally hot. So when they were filming the dance scenes inside, temperatures could get as high as 120 degrees Fahrenheit. According to Kenny Ortega, 10 people passed out within 25 Whoa. Minutes of shooting on day one.
Wow.
Not cool.
So a couple just little fun drop-in facts about the filming of this. There's a very famous scene where Johnny and Baby are practicing their dancing and they're kind of goofing around the Hey, Mickey, how do you call your lover boy?
Oh, lover boy.
And if he doesn't answer, come here, lover boy. That whole thing was improvised. They were just Aww. Trying to warm up, kind of get in sync again for the day. And they just thought it was so funny that they kept
They're
it in the
so
film.
Cute. I love that scene.
That's I know. It's cute. One of my favorite scenes. Also, this is a very famous fact, but we're going to tell it anyway. There's the infamous scene where Patrick Swayze lifts up Baby's arm and then kind of caresses his arm down hers. While they were doing it in this takes, she kept laughing and he gets frustrated. She actually was kind of really tired at that point and was kind of in a silly mood. So every time he did it, she would start laughing. And so when you see in the movie him getting angry, that was his genuine frustration over it. Patrick Swayze was very determined to do his own stunts. There is a scene where they are dancing on top of a log that's about 6 feet, I think.
It's like 15 feet up.
It's, high.
It's a deep ravine. Yeah.
Yeah. Over a little ravine. And he is on just this log. And they did not have any safety mechanism. I was kind of surprised by that. But he did fall and he injured his knee very badly. So he has in a lot
Again.
Of pain after that. Again. Yes. He had injured it before. So the big thing was the jump at the end. That was a very painful jump for him. But he did it.
I don't think that jump looked that cool.
I disagree.
I'm sorry. What?
Get a lot of stares. I've seen what? Cooler jumps.
Name one.
I can't.
Go on, Sam.
Well, now I'm trying to think of cooler jumps. There's
you can't.
One in Greece.
When he jumps off the car?
Yeah.
Is that cooler? Does he do a cool ballet turnout? Whatever. Go on.
Okay.
I'm just saying, immediately he does like a super fast twirly twirl. I was like, whoa. I was like, nah, it's cool.
So it overshadowed the...
Yeah, to me.
I do like the twirly twirls.
A lot.
Okay.
Oh, the twirly twirls are great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, speaking of dancing, you can't have good dancing without exceptional music. And I think around this table, it's fair to agree that this soundtrack is amazingly beloved.
Yes. A+.
It's just a truly phenomenal. So Eleanor gave the producers of this movie a list of songs that they had to have in this film. It was a bunch of 50s hits. And songs that were not really popular anymore had kind of gone their way. And it took a lot of time, a lot of people, a lot of issues to get the songs, but they were able to get every single one on her list, which is one of the reasons why the soundtrack is truly amazing. It came from kind of that dancer ear. However, there's two songs I would like to particularly talk about. First is She's Like the Wind.
She's like the wind.
Great. When Patrick knew they were kind of searching for a song, he suggested his own song that he had written for Grandview, USA, called She's Like the Wind. It's actually written by Patrick Swayze and his writing partner and sung by Patrick Swayze.
What a fucking cool guy. Yeah, I'm a hunky dude. By the way, here's my 80s love ballad. who says that?
It's crazy that he was like in Roadhouse and he was like in Red Dawn. And also he has perfect point. Like, yeah. He can ballet like crazy.
The other song that's really important in this movie is the final song, I've Had the Time of My Life. They were trying to find an end song. They weren't succeeding. They were actually choreographing the final dance without any music. And they finally found this song, Time of My Life. And they went to, I'm blanking on his name. Bill?
No idea.
Hold on.
I'll just say, I think it's weird. Because I think that song is the perfect fit, but I can't really explain why.
Right? You know?
Because he's had the time of his life.
But has he? It's actually been
I do think
now.
It is the... It's a there's no song could have been better than that song.
I mean, and it's also...
Maybe it's just a good song.
It's
maybe
a little bit
why.
The part of the movie where it really jumps a shark trying to be a period piece, and they're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, let's put on this total 80s
But
ballad.
It is the perfect song.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm embarrassed that I didn't catch on his last name and didn't remember it. Bill Medley.
That's good.
And Jennifer Warnes. When they went to Bill Medley and they're like, we would like you to perform this song, they kind of described the plot.
Just
of the
one
film.
Song.
Just one.
I would say that to Medley all the time.
Nice.
When they went to him and they're like, we'd like you to do this song, they kind of described the plot to him. He thought they were describing a bad porno film and he was like, no, thank you. I want no part of this. They would take some more convincing, explain, no, it was not a porn, and he would agree to do it. So
that was a fun part of the documentary where they said on set they had to call it a dance movie to be named later because they didn't want people to think it was a porn, the Dirty Dancing movie. That is a weird title.
Dirty Dancing.
And I think that that's what started it, too.
It started it all. Sorry, go on.
So anyways... They had the movie, they did the first cut, and they weren't happy with it. And so they brought in this very famous producer called Aaron Russo, who watched the film. Afterwards, he just simply said, burn the negative and collect the insurance. Ugh. They decided not to do that.
Idiot.
And the movie would premiere. The budget for this film was $5 million. The box office would be $214.6 million.
Suck it, Aaron.
Suck it, Aaron.
The movie was an instant hit. It has been considered more of a chick flick, but... I think we can all agree it definitely has more of the...
What's wrong
universal.
With being a chick flick?
I'm saying it's universal. I don't feel like saying it's just for women is fair. Not that women's movies are less. I'm just saying it's very universal. This film was nominated for one Academy Awards. Any guesses on what?
Dance.
There is no dance.
Pecs.
There is a pecs, unfortunately.
Yeah. Twirly twirls.
It was nominated for Best Original Song, and it won.
Oh, we saw that in the documentary. We saw Liza Minnelli say the words, here is the Oscar.
I thought she gave the Oscar to the director.
She winked at the camera and said, remember this for later, Michael McLean.
which was weird.
That Liza.
Yes, Liza.
I was just born that year.
Yeah, but she knew about our podcast.
She knew
what a podcast was, which is crazy.
Fucking Liza.
Fucking Liza.
Also, just to go into awards, this movie is on 3 AFI lists. Mm. So my question for you is...
We've already said pecs. What? Eyes? All right, sorry, go ahead.
Well, my question was going to be how many AFI lists is this on, but I totally just
said
that.
Oh, you said three?
So instead, I'll do this.
You have a backup.
Well, I'm making one up.
All right.
She's so good at her job.
There's a quote... No, yes. John, this is my only income. I mean, person who's not here.
Yeah, Craig.
Craig. So the line, "Nobody puts baby in the corner," is on the top 100 quotes list. What number?
I'll go. Well, you write it.
Okay.
I'll say 20.
84.
98.
Whoa, I knew they would respect it.
They did not respect.
It's not a good line. Patrick Swayze hated it.
I love that nobody liked the line. That was very funny.
Even the writer was like, yeah.
I thought it was fine. I mean, it's not like the greatest line, but whatever. Who cares?
But I totally get, like, you need a line like that in that part of the film.
Yeah. What are you supposed to say?
Right. It's like, the movie's continuing. You know, you've got to, like, make a point.
You know what? I'm going to defend the line.
Yeah.
Because he has to come in and be like, hey, baby's so much more than you think. Right? She's not just boxed into your world of you can make a difference as an affluent woman who goes to an Ivy League school and marries the right guy. Don't put her in that corner. She can be whoever she wants to be. I'm Patrick Swayze.
I felt like...
Goldie had said that.
I'm Johnny Castle.
Patrick Swayze says, don't put baby in a corner.
I'm into it.
I feel like...
No one else likes the line. Like I'm standing
other people it. Cornering baby was not really happening at the moment.
Yes. Her parents, society, outdated abortion laws. Everybody was cornering baby and women in general.
I mean, I felt
get out of that corner.
I felt like the plot was Patrick being fired. I felt like that was what was happening.
More than one thing can happen in a movie. It's complex. There's layers.
Shit.
So the song.
I'm so sorry, audience home, for shouting.
I've had the time of my life came in number 86 on the top 100 songs.
86? What's above that?
What's one better? Like,
obviously, Ghostbusters.
What's above? My Heart Will Go On, Titanic.
Obviously, okay, so two. So is it three?
Apparently, there's 80 more that are better. Whatever. Anyway, Sam.
There's Wild Wild West.
You can do your job.
Wait, hold on 1 second.
There's Wild Wild West on there.
Okay, actually, so here are the top 10, just very quickly. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, number one.
Oh, that's good. A good one.
Okay. Number two, As Time Goes By.
Oh, that's really good.
Number three, Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
Number four, Moon River.
What the fuck is that?
That's
Moon
from...
Moon River. It's Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yeah.
Don't like it.
Number five, White Christmas.
Sure, for White Christmas.
Don't like it.
Number six, no, it's for Holiday Inn. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Number six is Mrs. Robinson.
Sure.
Don't like it.
Number seven, When You Wish Upon a Star.
I like it.
Yeah, okay.
Number eight, The Way We Were.
Oh, The Way We Were.
Number nine, okay, you can argue this one, Staying Alive.
I like that song.
Okay.
I would put Have Time of My Life because the movie supports that song so much.
You know, Staying Alive keeps people alive. Because
you use that
beat to do chest compressions with CPR.
If you do Time of My Life to that song, that person is dead. Stay with me!
Time of my life.
Breathe!
This is going to be a long one.
And number 10 is The Sound of Music.
That's also very good.
Okay.
Think of your children! Sorry. Yelling.
Two final facts for you today.
Go on.
The Mountain Lake Lodge, where they filmed half of this movie in, still is running, and they actually do Dirty Dancing themed weekends every year.
Ooh.
So they have activities such as dance lessons. You do not get to.
So it's like the Foxtrot. It's like the upper class.
Yeah.
Okay.
A walking.
I don't know if they saw the movie.
A walking tour of the resort, a scavenger hunt, trivia games, and my favorite, watermelon toss.
You know what they should have also then? A symposium hosted by Planned Parenthood as to why we need to modernize all our reproductive.
No, they just have fancy dance and download the staff classes.
And my final fact for you today is, so there's a lot of talks about when we're going through these lists of why these films should be on this list and their relevance in today's world as time goes on. And Patrick Swayze actually talked about it. So this is a direct quote from Patrick Swayze about why this film is still very vital today. It's got so much heart to me. It's not about sensuality. It's really about people trying to find themselves. This young dance instructor feeling like he's nothing but a product, and this young girl trying to find out who she is in a society of restrictions when she has such an amazing take on things. On a certain level, it's really about the fabulous, funky little Jewish girl getting the guy because what she's got in her heart.
Is that what Patrick Swayze said?
Yeah.
What a fucking cool ass dude. I love him.
And that was
Bam.
Time for Sam. I just want to follow up with that on, I actually think this is a really good AFI contender.
Thank you.
And I just want to go like just really quickly.
I took that as a compliment.
It was.
Okay.
So just one, I feel like obviously dance movies are not really represented except for like early musicals. Like every so often, like dance movies come in and out, you know, like with Step Up or with Flashdance or like a bunch of them.
No, you stop. You can stop at Step Up.
Or Step Up 2, Step Up to the Streets.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, so I've seen a lot of them. This
the
is
Step Up at first.
The Step Up at first. And look, I mean, this is the best of them. No yeah. question.
Yeah.
But it, I think it is kind of an important genre. Two, this was the
Sorry, high... this doesn't just fall in the genre of romance movies or?
No, I think dance movies as well. Okay. Also.
Oh, sure. Multiple genres.
Yeah. So also at the time was the highest grossing independent film ever made. And if
it was on the, it was the top movie for 19 weeks.
Yeah.
That's gotta be something.
And so one of the AFI pillars is cultural relevance. Come on. You play this fucking song. They do the lift. You get it.
Sam.
People know this.
This here's a fact for you. What of all movie soundtracks, do you know what number this is?
Oh,
no, but I'll look it up. But perfect. Also, I just want it known that My Heart Will Go On is number 14 on the list.
Oh, good. Okay, that, that's appropriate. That up. And I, you know, we have to say it. But first of all, produced and written by a woman. And, you know, women, movies liked by women, about women, people don't really like. And it's put down a bit. And I think this does need to have a little more like, hey, man.
Yeah, check people it. Are fucking nominating Shane. Not this.
This is so much better than Shane. Go away, Shane.
Go away, Shane.
You know what?
Shane, go away. Is that the quote?
Yeah.
Let's
wait, also better than Raging Fucking Bull.
Raging Fucking Bull sucks, man.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Michael. Whoa. Did you see who just came in the studio?
Well, where's Craig? I don't know where he went, but we're gonna introduce our guest who's here in the studio.
John Flaherty.
He's related to us. He's a brother.
He had to leave after our Heather's episode, but he flew in special on a red eye just to be here in the studio. John, you know, keep those DC assholes waiting. This is way more important.
And I'm really tired about it, too.
Welcome.
So I've been listening. I want to clean up a few things. Yeah. One, I mean, I nominated like 60 movies for this new list, and I did not include Dirty Dancing. But I have to agree with everything you just said. I do believe it does include. I haven't even talked about its quality, but I do believe it deserves inclusion.
Wow.
Three other things. Number one, the Catskills are the Catskill Mountains.
Oh,
so
okay.
We refer to the Catskills just because... The
maybe
Catskills.
Was
like
there
the
a monopoly on the resorts? Maybe there's
the
just one resort.
Dude.
How big is a mountain?
Two, we talked about Red Dawn a bunch and there was no call for Wolverine. I am disappointed.
I don't know what that means.
You're the worst.
Come out and
you
play.
Are the worst.
Is that that movie?
The Warriors?
Okay, you both are... I'm making a list and you're both
it's called
it.
The Warriors.
That's
that
The
movie.
Warriors?
Yeah.
I don't know any movies. I'm sorry.
I heard The Warriors.
You literally are on it. A movie podcast.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, John.
That's what we're doing now.
Oh, my Lord. And third, this is to you, Michael. How dare you sully the name of Han Solo?
Oh, I think he's
you're
kind
on the
of
list.
A silly
no
actor.
No one would say that Harrison Ford's like a great actor, but he's great
now
to
you're
watch.
Both on the list twice.
When have you ever seen Harrison Ford be great in something where he wasn't just Harrison Ford?
That's great.
Right, I guess that is good.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to go down that
road. Don't be on the list a third time.
Oh, go ahead.
Follow up to your question. On Rolling Stone's top 25 movie soundtrack, Dirty Dancing does not make an appearance.
What?
But on Cosmopolitan's top 25, they are number 10.
I bet if you looked at the numbers, what I care about, I bet it's number one. What is the better soundtrack? I don't know.
I'm sure there are other good soundtracks.
I mean, we already talked about Newsies.
I know. I think The Big Chill is one of the highest selling
musicals
ones.
Exist.
Oh yeah. See, that's what.
Yeah. So Mary Poppins or whatever.
Anyway, let's go
Wizard
to our next
Oz.
Segment, Critics Corner.
Yes.
Where we hear what the critics have to say about Dirty Dancing.
Oh, hold on. But did we give our first impressions already?
Yeah.
So should John give his first impressions?
Well, I thought that numbered list was him. Anyway, John, what were your first impressions?
Oh, I haven't seen it in a while since we saw it yesterday. I have to say, seeing it in a group setting like that, so me and Jim Flaherty could sing along to all the songs.
John, could you date that properly? Because you just flew in from D.C.
Oh, sorry. when should I date it? When
anyway, you just saw it in a group setting.
Just saw it totally like a week ago. And seeing it in a group setting is so much more fun because we can all enjoy it together and then shame mom about the sex parts. That was all great.
I was like, I feel like John should give context to that so it doesn't sound weird, but it was
the way
weird.
You phrased this, like, Mom, why is this happening? Be ashamed.
Mom, what's going on? She's going to really enjoy this.
Mom was embarrassed watching that scene with her children, and we made it.
I kept asking her to explain what was going on. I couldn't tell.
And we all made it as weird as
they already had the performance. Why were they practicing?
It was the greatest.
And in a bed, too. That's not really good. I got the river. That made sense.
Why did they lie down dancing? It doesn't make any sense.
What was the thing with the mouths? I didn't get that.
So anyway, Critics Corner, guys. Yeah. Why don't I start?
All right, sure.
What seems like an enjoyable piece of fluff about a summer camp romance is, in its own quiet way, a powerful morality tale, says Sarah Crompton of the Daily Telegraph.
Oh, I'm not going to like these Amazon reviews. Why don't you go ahead, John?
Oh, sure. Plot is preposterous. Young girl morphs from a naive doctor's daughter to sultry sylph. Who just happens to have slinky dance wear. The consequences of abortion are absent or shrugged
They're
off.
Really not shrugged
ZZ
off.
ZZ bonus.
Yeah,
Amazon
that's
reviewer.
Actually a big plot point.
Yeah, that's really not shrugged, man.
It's literally the driving force of the entire plot.
Between the great soundtrack, the physical appeal of the very approachable Gray, and smoking hot Swayze, everything was great about that. The undeniable chemistry between the leads and the toe-tapping dance numbers, Dirty Dancing is inherently watchable.
Oh, why do women love this movie so much? It is terrible. It is basically about a bunch of drunk bums that take dancing way too seriously for no reason. They sit around being emo, dancing, drinking, and apparently hooking up a lot. Whenever I think of this movie, I think about the scene where the main character chick is asking her dad for money for the secret abortion, and the dad is all, I can never trust you again. It's stupid.
Pause. Main character chick. I liked that part.
I like when the dad is all. Maybe Patrick Swayze and his whole troop of bubs should
pause! I like troop of buds.
Should put together a few bucks each and pay for the damn abortion instead of evolving the main character chick. The movie was just about their romance and practicing for the big dance-off at the end. Then I might like this movie more. But the stupid needing money for abortion depression angle is just stupid and pointless, IMHO.
The inciting incident was not good.
I am not against crazy 80s dance movies. I'd take a few other ones. Anyways, women are crazy.
Best ending line ever to a review.
I am so jealous I didn't get that.
I want every review to end like that.
Mickey, can I pass? You do one and then I get to do the Amazon
one. Okay, perfect.
I love the Amazon ones.
If the ending of Eleanor Bernstein's script is too neat and inspirational, the rough energy of the film song and dance does carry one along past the whispered doubts of better judgment. Anyway, women are crazy. And that was from Richard Schickel of Time Magazine.
For years, I'd always avoided this movie, mostly because of the title. However, after having read the plot and related reviews, then thinking perhaps I misjudged the movie, I bought it.
You had to read the plot.
Big mistake. Such vulgar movies depicted in the... Oh, moves. Depicted in the first few minutes of the movie, I just had to turn it off and trash the DVD and burn the negative. Truly, the world, air quotes, thinks highly of this tripe. Well, so does Satan.
Yes!
Women be crazy.
That's so good.
That's so good.
That's really funny. Oh, that was Critics Corner.
Yeah, that was Critics Corner. So, favorite part, least favorite part.
People put critics in a corner.
I don't have a least favorite part. So, if you guys want to say your least favorite parts. I did say earlier my least favorite part was the fact that his name was Johnny Castle, and they never said it again when it's such a perfect name. Say it all the time.
There was one part in the movie that bothered me. It is an A-plus movie. There was one part that bothered me. I feel like in the movie, like halfway through, more than halfway through, there's a part where Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze, baby, and Johnny are like hiding because, oh, that's my dad. And Johnny's like, huh, I thought you could stand up to your father, but I guess not. And then I feel like in the next scene, they're made up. So there's just that one little.
Oh, wait, I actually have a nitpick scene too, then, where Johnny goes to her dad and he's like, you know, I'm really a good guy. Like, don't worry. And baby's so great. And he's like, don't tell me about my daughter, you asshole. You knocked up this chick and left her to a butcher to get an abortion. And he's like, you would see that, wouldn't you? And it's like,
I get that. You have pride.
Yeah, except earlier he told him that that was the case.
Wait, when he said that's my baby?
Yeah.
No, he didn't say that.
He did
not say
that.
Yes, he did. Yes. Okay. In the doctor's office. He said, who's responsible for this girl?
That's and different.
John, that's different.
It is not different.
It's different.
No, that's oldie time language for who's the father of the baby. Who's responsible for this?
Sam doesn't have a mic. It's 2-1.
Yeah, if Sam had a mic, she would count.
But she doesn't. So therefore, you're outvoted. It's too wrong.
I'm a woman.
I'm so
also
right.
That.
I'm
she
so
just
right.
Is also a woman. That's separate.
Fine. If you guys are right, then Johnny gave him that impression that he was the father and he never corrected him.
Oh, yeah, that was stupid.
And he could have corrected him in that moment.
I get it. It's pride.
Whatever.
No, it was stupid.
Well, I mean, pride makes you stupid.
You're wrong. Half of that.
Anyway, John, what was your least favorite part?
So my not true least favorite part, my minor quibble is Patrick Swayze's acting, particularly in the first half, is pretty wooden. I think we can all admit he's hot. Oh. He's a great dancer.
Okay, but he's not just hot. He's not like, oh, that's an attractive guy. He has a charisma.
He brings the essential elements.
Like,
and a sensual element.
And his dancing was
that
amazing.
Was really good.
I'm not a pro dancing guy, necessarily, but his dancing was amazing.
You could tell.
Yeah.
It helped that we saw Billy Zane try to do the
movie. I think the second half of the movie, his acting, like when the character really had a lot to chew on with the classism, he started to get into it. But even then, his accent was starting to distract me a bit.
I'm okay.
But yeah, his acting wasn't great. What my true quibble is, how dare Johnny Castle sully Local Union 128, the painters of Northeastern Pennsylvania.
It's a good job.
That is a good job. And damn it, organized labor should be put on a pedestal, not thrown away from my dancing
but
career.
But he's a dancer.
You know what? Take the opportunity dance given in front
heart.
Of you and...
You have to be that good. If you dance all day and you're like, time to party, let's dance. And that's all you do.
Don't sully your union, brothers.
I know.
Just say it. Do painters go home and like, this kitchen is too white.
Let's do a little eggshell.
I think Picasso would like to have a word
with
you. The
wife's like, see your children. They ask for you every day.
I have to tape the window. It's my passion.
They'll see me in a baby blue room.
Michael, what was your least favorite? Oh, you already said. What was your favorite part?
Just the construction of this movie. It's really neat. I mean, I feel like I like a lot of movies. It's like, I like it, but, you know, it's a little long. It's a little flabby. But this movie is just really tight. Like, every bit of it I thought was super, super good. There's even scenes of just them, like you guys have already mentioned, the scene where they're just singing to each other and dancing, the Oh Lover Boy scene, where some might consider that filler, but I definitely would not. And it just felt like it's just really tight and good. It's just a really, really well-constructed movie.
I can think of few movies where the two leads have better chemistry than this movie.
Can we say we have special expertise because we have seen so many Hallmark films? And it's surprising. It's about 90% of them where they have no chemistry.
You cannot just shove attractive people together
and
expect it to create magic.
It cannot happen.
And, you know, like Jennifer Grey's, like, she's cute, but she's not. But their chemistry is explosive. Like, there are probably maybe romance movies I like better for the romance part, but I cannot think of better chemistry
they
than these
it.
Two.
They
like I think literally of any TV show or movie I've ever seen. Also, I just really like Jennifer Grey's acting and character because now as a 30-year-old, just her vulnerability, her awkwardness, and then her like there's a scene where she has to do this big dance and she's so nervous, but she kind of gets into it. You just are there for it. It's so convincing and wonderful and lovely. I just really like her character in acting.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead, John.
I do agree with that, and that accentuates just how wooden Patrick Swayze is, because she is so nuanced of an actress, and he's not really.
What's your favorite part?
I just keep wanting to make a joke when you keep saying wooden about him. Anyway.
Oh, just go for it.
No, I won't. Go on.
So
I was wooden.
I'm going to take...
Generic PEX joke. Nobody said the soundtrack, which obviously
so good.
Is incredible. Also, I appreciate movies that really deal with classism, and they deal with they deal with it well.
Big theme. Yeah.
Like, really? Honestly, yeah. I was not kidding where I thought the way they dealt with the social issues was subtle. And sometimes it wasn't subtle in a perfect way, and we're going to get into that, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be overly subtle, or else, you know, you miss it. So, any movie that deals with classism or concepts of power struggles, I always love.
Oh, it doesn't feel in your face.
No, it doesn't, can we go? It is central.
Can we go do a round two of favorite parts?
Okay. I did two of both, so...
Well, dude, you're going to have to think of something else.
I also did two.
Well, you're going to have to do another one.
Okay. One more of each.
Okay. When Robbie the waiter...
No, wait, we have to talk about that when it happens to the plot.
All right.
Denied.
Fine, do it.
When Robbie gives baby... He says, you know, some people are good, and other people are just so not good. Worth it. Here's my copy of The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand, with my notes in the margin.
It's so amazing!
So good!
Back when I was a 28-year-old 2 weeks ago and I saw this for the first time, I fucking died when I saw that scene. I'm like, that is so fucking good!
Because I told you, Michael, I'd seen this movie a ton as a teenager, and you told me that, I'm like, that's in that movie?
And I was like, I actually think a movie today would not be bold enough to do that joke. Because that's a thing still.
I think...
It is!
I think it says so much for this movie that I love that joke so much, and I forgot it.
Yeah.
Because it was in the first third
of
the
movie. Did you guys know that when Paul Ryan was in office, he would give all his new staff a copy of The Fountainhead to read? Yes. Just think about that!
And the movie is so aware.
And Michael, the line is Robbie says, some people are just better than other people.
No. It's not it. It's some people matter and some people don't.
Yeah.
Some people count. Some people don't.
It is on the
It's
note.
So fucking
That's
good.
That's so good.
It's a fucking, fucking great movie.
We're getting shouty.
I don't
it's
care.
A fucking
I'm
good
not
movie.
Sorry.
You guys do have to say one more positive thing for our round two.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I actually have a negative.
It's not
the fact that Wayne Newton was in it and fucking John Flaherty and Jim Flaherty had to point out every time we saw him on screen that he was Newton or
Newman
or whatever.
Or was he?
Yeah, in Seinfeld.
You know, he was in Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. So then Newman. He was like the neighbor.
Yeah, Newman.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I really like the sister character. She's like barely in it. Oh, you know what else I like? Jerry Orbach. He's
Jerry
amazing.
Orbach is
amazing.
He's so good.
Negative. Her stunt double was not good.
No.
Her stunt double.
Just it didn't look like her.
Jennifer Grey's stunt double was super obvious.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I didn't mind it.
Sure, okay. It was super obvious. I
mean. John, do you have another positive?
I've been glomming on to so many positives. So let's just move past it.
Dancing was really good.
The dancing was really good.
But here, I'll glom onto yours. The music is really good, but it's like... Especially that last song. We've already said it, but just the music with the lift, fucking good.
It's important to remember that when we saw this weeks ago, me and Jim Flaherty did sing along with every song.
It's a good soundtrack. And we gotta stop. Okay.
Let's get into it. That was the summer of 1963, when everybody called me baby, and it didn't occur to me to mind. That is the opening salvo of Dirty Dancing.
The Marleys were dead to begin with.
It's great. I mean, that's almost as good. Baby, Jennifer Grey, is traveling with her family to Kellerman's Resort in the Catskills. Upon arrival, it appears to be your typical family vacation, pouring dinners with the parents, silly activities, and Newman from Seinfeld.
Newman!
Oh, that's where he's from.
Hello, Newman.
Annoying everyone.
Oh, God, it was so funny. He's also in Jurassic Park.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's the bad guy.
He's also in a Space Jam.
This one.
Yes.
Resort owner Kellerman himself tries to set up baby with his smarmy grandson, Neil, who is very smart.
Oh, pause on that. Where Neil has this offline where he says he's going to go with the Freedom Riders, which is a pretty big deal. And then mom, the entire movie, like, keeps defending him. Even when he's an asshole later, he's like, he has to be a good guy to go with the Freedom Riders. And I'm like, mom, first of all, he hasn't done it yet. And it doesn't mean you can't also be an asshole.
Clint, he's getting a degree in hotel management from Cornell. He is basically the catch in the Catskills.
I guess. Anyway, John, go on.
Is there not a book called Catch in the Catskills?
There should be now. It should be about Neil.
That's my movie.
Neil Kellerman.
That's a $1 million title.
While clumsily dancing with Neil, Baby's eyes are drawn to the professional dancers hired to entertain their guests, Penny Johnson and Johnny Castle, also known as Patrick Swiss. Their dancing, while not that dirty, intrigues her.
The Baby's eyes are caught by Patrick Swayze. Camera work was very, very good. Just like, oh, there he is.
But also, like, she was just so awkward at the same time. I just felt so seen by her character.
Yeah, your
acting
was amazing at every step. You're so right about that.
That night, Baby helps Billy Kostecki, one of the workers at Kellerman's, carry a watermelon to the employee's cabin. Up on the hill, Baby witnesses a bumping and grinding like she's never seen back home. Baby looks at Johnny and Penny dancing with envy. But Billy lets her know that Penny and Johnny aren't a couple.
Which was great explanatory dialogue. Also, you'd think they'd be a couple, but they're not.
Also, when it comes to dirty dancing, that employee dance that she'd have, that was like the epitome of the dirty air quote
dancing. Oh, for
sure.
I can't believe Penny would be in those fucking dance heels all day and be like, what do you want to do now? Dance.
And Michelle did tell you, like, if you wear those heels like all day long, it becomes easier to have them on than not.
Same thing happened to Sarah Jessica Parker.
There
She's
you go.
Actually more comfortable in heels. Anyway, Johnny teaches Baby a few moves, and boy, does Baby let loose.
Good scene.
It was so good because she was just so awkward and terrible. It was fantastic.
But it's like, you also bought, like, I want to dance with you, Patrick.
No, you remember at the end of that?
We all were Baby in that moment.
I want to be held by your arms.
Patrick Swayze's teaching her to dance a little bit, and like she's getting into it, and then like she does a spin, and suddenly just leaves.
Yeah, and she's just like, and then she kind of just like sways, like she meant that to happen.
And scene.
This dirty dancing might be your new... Okay. Later.
Later, Penny misses an evening where she's supposed to be teaching dance classes, but Baby accidentally finds Penny crying in the kitchen. Baby runs to Johnny for help. Baby learns that Penny is pregnant. Sleazy waiter Robbie is the father. Which, pause, we have to talk about that scene a little bit back where Baby is like overhearing the staff being lectured by Kellerman, the owner, saying, waiters, you guys, I hired you specially from Ivy schools. Go hit on the daughters. Go make them interested.
There's two kinds of help.
You, the other help. You stay away.
You scum of the earth. Do not touch the women. I think is what he
said. Maybe you already said this, because I feel like there are elements in this movie that are kind of grounded and nice, but it's like a mash of grounded but very corny and silly that I completely love.
Yeah, it's
I love both of those.
It's like
things.
The setup elements were just very unsubtle, and then the main plot behind that was subtle.
It was grounded enough that
it's a great combination.
So yeah, sleazy waiter Robbie, who's the one with the fountainhead,
yes.
Which is not in these notes.
But he needs it back because he has notes in the margins.
Yeah, notes in the margins.
Such a fucking good moment.
Sleazy waiter Robbie is the father. Penny cannot keep the baby, but she doesn't have the $250 for the abortion, which is about $2,000 in today's money.
I don't know why I had to look that up.
Baby tries to get the money from Robbie, who's a deadbeat baby daddy. Say that five times.
Because some people matter.
Some people matter.
Some people don't.
Some people don't.
Including the woman I slept with.
And that's a lot of money. Take a cold shower, Robbie. After
Sorry, he refuses, so Baby dumps water on him.
Take a cold shower, Robbie. After that, Baby turns to her own dad, played by Jerry Orbach, who's as far from a deadbeat as one can get. He loans Baby the money, even though she won't tell him what it's for. Baby delivers the money to Penny, but learns about another problem. If Penny has the abortion, she can't compete in the resort's dance competition.
I mean, it's kind of a weird contrivance, but I'm really into it. Like,
it's not that she's in the dance competition. She has a different job at a different resort.
Yeah, it's not a competition.
Yeah, I don't know why that says competition. But yeah, another dance that she, and she'll lose that job for the whole summer and the next summer if she doesn't go. So it's a big deal that they're there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's contrived, but how are you going to do it?
I just think Jennifer Grey and Jerry Orbach are both very good actors. Because that moment where he goes,
yep.
Oh, baby, do you need it for something illegal? And she just pauses a second. Well, no, daddy. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can't even believe I asked. And just both of them are just delivering such believable performances.
And the fact that it pays off later.
Oh, yeah. Baby agrees to stand in for Penny, which is so funny because that one guy who she carried a watermelon for is like, I've seen her. She can move. And I'm like, did we watch the same scene of her dancing? But it's fine.
One of the guys was into her. One of them was not.
Which means she must learn to dance. Johnny takes on the role of teacher and Baby learns fast. It only takes 3 or 4 dance montages and voila. She's ready for the big show.
But realistically, I mean, she's good, but she's like not obviously Patrick Swayze level.
Right. And she's not as good as Penny and she's like nervous and stiff. Anyway.
I love 80s montages, by the way.
They're great.
That should have been among my favorites.
Because it's Hungry Eyes?
Because I love 80s montages, period. Full stop. Ready for the dance. Baby and Johnny travel to the Sheldrake, which is a different resort, for their performance. Penny helps Baby get ready, and she thanks Baby for helping her. Penny also confesses that she's scared for the upcoming abortion. Baby comforts Penny, not confronts, and lets her know that everything will be okay.
Baby is nervous when the dance begins, but she shakes her hips and shakes off the nerves. However, she's too scared to do the lift. Despite that, Johnny says she did a wonderful job when they get back to Kellerman's.
I think sometimes his acting is okay. Like, when they were driving back, he's like, oh yeah, I was so nervous when I saw them. He was just kind of goofy, and so I liked him.
I thought his acting was pretty... I mean, the accent was a little weird sometimes, but I thought he was doing a good job.
I mean, his acting in the beginning was particularly bad, sure. Which kind of poisoned it for me.
To be clear, when you're saying bad, like, he's probably the worst of the cast, but he's not actually a terrible actor.
Yes, that's entirely accurate.
When they get there, Billy runs toward them. Penny's abortion went horribly wrong. She's in her bed, bleeding.
Baby runs to get her dad, who's a doctor. He tends to Penny, no questions asked, but that doesn't mean he's happy with Baby. He forbids her from seeing those people again, which is fair.
Yeah.
This, of course, makes Baby want to see Johnny even more, and she goes to his cabin immediately. After a passionate discussion, the two of them get down to some dirty dancing.
Mom, what's going on?
Yeah, but like, why would they be dancing?
What are they doing? Are they still practicing? The event's over, Mom.
If they're between sheets, they can't see each other. I don't get that. Is it my turn?
No, it's John's turn.
For the rest of her vacation, Baby sneaks away from her family constantly to spend every minute she can getting new lessons, quote unquote, from Johnny. However, their little affair comes to an end near the final days of Kellerman's. Vivian Pressman, known at Kellerman's as a bungalow bunny, definitely in air quotes, wants to be with Johnny, but Johnny now only has eyes for Baby, so he denies Vivian. When Vivian later sees Johnny with Baby, she accuses Johnny of stealing her husband's wallet, and Johnny is fired. He refuses to use Baby as his alibi, even though that would exonerate him. He doesn't want her to get into trouble.
Well, and because he would still get in trouble.
It's also a little weird that Vivian wants to get revenge on Johnny for not sleeping with her, but she uses a real crime.
Yeah.
That was weird to me.
I think the point is, like, he's like, oh, where's my wallet? And in that moment, she's like, oh, I'm pissed at Johnny. So it's not like she, like, had an elaborate setup. She just was so mad in that moment that his wallet was gone, she decided to set him up.
That seemed a bit too convenient to me at the time.
When Baby finds out what Johnny was accused of, she realizes that she has to admit being with Johnny. She confesses to being with Johnny on the night the wallet was stolen. She says she was in the cabin all night.
That moment where she's like, I know Johnny was in his room all night, and I know because I was with him.
Yeah,
and Jerry Orbach's face just...
She did fucking good. Well, let's see his face in this scene.
Oh, this one. Her dad is disappointed in Baby again. Baby decides to tell her dad, she's not his little baby anymore. There are a lot of things about me that aren't what you thought. But if you love me, you have to love all those things about me. And I love you. And I'm sorry I let you down. But you let me down too. Ugh.
That wasn't even a clip. That was just sir.
But that was a really good, that whole monologue where she's like, you wanted me to change the world, but you meant by being like you, not actually like, you know, subverting our class structure and stuff. It was very good.
It's a fucking good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Kellerman fires Johnny anyway for sleeping with a guest, and he leaves. But he decides to make a dramatic return during the Kellerman's talent show.
Yes!
Because he always does the last dance of the year.
Nobody
stops him. He got us.
This is the part of the movie where it's a little silly, but it's so earned.
It's so good.
It's just so, like, okay, everybody just clear the way for Johnny to just do his dance around and dance with him to this totally 80s song that we're putting on a record in 1963. But nobody gives a shit because this movie has fucking earned this grand finale.
So fucking good.
So the intern's notes say, Dad has sat Baby in a corner. What it is they're against a pillar, but the parents are on either side, and Baby is sitting against the pillar.
It's a corner.
It's a kind of corner.
Also metaphorical, John.
Yes, exactly. And the notes also say, it's honestly a pretty good seat with a great view of the stage. But Johnny declares, nobody puts Baby in a corner. Yeah. And brings her up on stage where she belongs.
And she's just happy wearing the most perfect dance shoes and dress.
And Johnny just happens to have a dramatic class of speech ready.
So good.
They perform their amazing dance for anyone at Kellerman's, including the lift. By the time they're done, everyone, even the oldest of the fogies,
old fogey, that's a thing,
are grooving in the aisles. Johnny gives Baby a passionate kiss, which is the best way to end this memorable vacation.
Yay!
Okay, before we go to the end, favorite song.
It's
that's
for me, it's Time My Life. Because just the movie, whole movie builds to it.
I actually really, really love Otis Redding. These Arms of Mine. It's one of my favorite songs.
Hungry Eyes, obviously.
Oh, by Eric Carmen is also a very good song.
Hungry Eyes.
How does this Hungry Eyes go?
I see the magic between you and I.
Michael, like that.
Is there more of it?
Don't. Don't.
Touch me.
So what do you guys, Clean, what do you grade the film?
A.
Nice.
It's a really, really good film. And I think it's actually a really good contender for the FI. So could've good job,
better.
Michael.
Could have been better though, right?
I mean, it's a little cheesy sometimes.
Yeah, but that's such a bad part.
All right, A plus. God, jeez.
I think I'm going to give it an A minus.
Whoa.
I don't think the movie's as tight as you're thinking because we were having so much fun with it.
I think it's tight as hell.
I don't think
Michael
it's as...
also watched
I saw
it before.
We I saw it by myself.
I know. I don't think it's as tight as you're remembering, particularly after Baby's been found out. I think Park gets a little sloppy. I do think it's a bit cheesy. And
which is a bad thing?
Not necessarily. I just don't think that makes it an A plus movie.
Plus John doesn't like women very much, so
that's gonna knock it down.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stick with my A minus. I feel good about it. I love the movie. I just don't think it's upper echelon.
A plus, top echelon. That's what I'm gonna give it. Kimmy, fuck Kimmy. What are they? Oh, Dirty Dancing, but better. That's never been said. You know what I mean?
I mean, I did say Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
And did you say it's like, oh, it's like a little bit better, the Dirty Dancing?
No, I would never say
that. Yeah, exactly. Can't.
Which is related.
It's better than you think, though.
Because
which is, yeah.
Our sponsor this week is actually the Cuban Tourism Board.
I thought it'd be Netflix. I mean, we brought them up a lot.
Well, we have two sponsors this week. First sponsor, Netflix. It's got a lot of stuff, you guys. Seriously, even if Friends is, and The Office are
not
going
as much
away,
anymore.
There's going to be stuff to watch. I mean, just hold on, guys.
Support The Witcher. Out now.
Sure. And then also the Cuban Tourism Board. Maybe we'll be allowed to go there sometime. I don't know.
What if those two will merge? You can just see Cuban things on Netflix.
Havana Nights.
Like Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Maybe. Let's petition. Is that a sponsor?
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Flares on Films. If you haven't already, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Which you have, obviously.
Joyce.
And next week is... The Dark Knight.
Whoa. What? I thought we were doing a not fun one next.
It is not fun. I labeled it not fun.
Why?
Because
so
I had to do
serious.
I had to do half and half. And also, The Dark Knight isn't a fun movie.
It's amazing. It is a masterpiece, and I will fight you.
Fun and not fun is not an editorial decision on the quality of the film. It is whether it is a fun watch or a serious watch. Don't you think Dark Knight is serious?
No, it's not that serious.
I already made the bit once. I can't do it again.
I mean, why so serious?
Michael, that was really good.
All right. And cut.
Was this like 2 hours long?